Eli Stevens, grave number 280, cemetery 1, buried March 23rd, 1898.
Israel Johnson, grave 281, cemetery 1, buried 2 months after Eli Stevens.
From WOUB Public Media in Athens, Ohio, you're listening to Who Lies Beneath the Asylum. I'm Sherry Russo. This is a podcast about restoring dignity and respect by giving a voice to the voiceless. Eli Stevens and Israel Johnson have two very different life stories, and they fought on opposite sides of the Civil War. But they're linked by the fact that they were buried right next to each other at the old Athens Lunatic Asylum in the late 1890s. They both were buried under a numbered tombstone on the asylum grounds, along with about 1,900 other people. There are three cemeteries that contain mostly tombstones with just numbers and no names or no dates. Both Eli and Israel have special markers next to their tombstones, indicating they were war veterans. Thanks to the research done by Doug McCabe, a retired library archivist, Eli and Israel's life stories are now known. Doug McCabe is here now. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
Well, so we're talking today about Eli and Israel. Talk about how you came to learn their story. And I don't want to say connection. That doesn't seem like the right word, but there is a connection.
Some kind of a connection. Well, at minimum, the connection is that they were both in the asylum at the same time. Now, it was a kind of a funny thing. William Peters, a local attorney and Athens County regional amateur historian. I wouldn't want to say that he was super amateur. He was really detailed in all kinds of history of the area. And in a write-up he did for the superintendent of the asylum, noted that one of the early patients admitted was Eli Stevens. And that struck him somehow or another because he noted that Stevens had been a part of Morgan's raid through southern Ohio during the Civil War in July of 1863. After discovering that Eli and Israel were veterans, the next kind of revelation, if you will, is that they're buried next to each other. Now, the way things worked at the cemeteries was a person dies, is not claimed by the family for whatever reason, and it's my understanding that the bodies were not embalmed, so it's important to make the burials relatively quick. So Eli died first in 1895 and is buried. Well, Israel turns out to be the next male buried at the cemetery. And so, because Israel had only been in the asylum for a month, and then died. So now he's buried next to Eli. The thing that, of course, makes it, I think, interesting, at least to me, is that one was a Confederate and the other was a Union veteran.
We'll start with Eli and hear his story through a first-person style account with the help of voice actor Dan Houser, our Doug McCabe, and Civil War historian Bill Walker.
I was admitted to the asylum in 1874 as patient number 207. My story ended at the asylum, but it started in the South, where I eventually became a Confederate soldier. And I ended up in southern Ohio because I came here to fight as part of Morgan's raid.
This is John Hunt Morgan, who was a Confederate cavalry general who conducted a raid through southern Illinois and Indiana and southern Ohio in July of 1863.
They entered into Indiana, and then entered into Ohio in Hamilton, Butler County, and came across the state, if you look at it from west to east, from the western boundary, Hamilton County, straight on through, and then they hit Vinton County, Gallia County, Jackson County, and eventually, of course, they ended up in Meigs County, where the engagement of Buffington Island in Portland, Ohio, occurred on July 18th of 1862.
They did not come through Athens, but went through Nelsonville, and there was a lot of trauma involved in all of that. And apparently Eli was captured.
After the raid, I stayed in southeast Ohio, but got involved in a conflict of another kind.
In 1867, Eli is arrested in Vinton County for burning down a church. And it's one thing to commit arson. I think it's probably an additional problem when you torch a church. Anyway, he's caught and put on trial. It appears from this that he had been an epileptic. I guess he probably still was, but maybe his epilepsy episodes had been reduced over time. But it also appears that he was quite a violent character. At any rate, at the trial, he was found guilty, but also insane.
And that's when I found my way to the Athens Insane Asylum.
In 1874, when the asylum opened up, and this is for insane people, you know, Eli's a primary candidate for that, and he was one of the first patients admitted into the asylum, and is buried now in cemetery number one. For those 21 years that Eli's in the asylum, one has to imagine, and I don't think it takes a whole lot of work at this, but Eli was a Confederate soldier, and is, for some of this time at least, the only representative of the Confederacy in the South, and the Southern Rebellion and so forth, in this institution of the Athens Asylum.
Little did I know I would be buried next to a Union soldier, one that represents everything the Confederates were against.
Doug, now that we know a little bit more about Eli and Eli's story, what about his story stands out to you? What do you think makes it the most interesting? There's so many different things.
I think the thing that stands out most is that it appears he was quite an ass. He not only burned down a church, but it appears too that he was a very difficult person to get along with. Now, the caveat I ought to throw in there is, even if he was a jerk, he was in the asylum for about 21 years, and if you now put on your thinking cap or your imagination cap, and here's Eli, who is a known Confederate veteran. So he fought against the United States, and everybody else at the asylum, all the staff, all the patients, all the males, all the females, had to have known that he was a Confederate. That's one mark against him. The other mark is, if he's a real jerk, then that's not going to be held in high esteem with anybody else either. So I'm guessing that his treatment, and I don't mean just psychological treatment, but, you know, just general treatment, must have been pretty rough.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And Eli does not have today a named marker on his grave, but Israel Johnson, the person buried right next to him, does. Were you involved at all in getting that named marker on Israel's gravesite?
Yes, and that's because I was able to find the not only census records and so forth that could prove that Israel Johnson actually existed, but I also found his muster records, his military records. With Eli, the only thing that I have up to this point is William Peters saying that Eli had been on Morgan's raid. I have not been able to find any military records, so these would be Confederate military records, on Eli. It could be that they just no longer exist. There are plenty of military records that were destroyed or not actually kept in any surviving way. And that's been real frustrating, and that's why there is no new marker for Eli.
Now it's time to hear Israel's first-person account with the help of voice actor Roger Jones, Civil War historian Bill Walker, and Doug, and some more information about how the two ended up buried right next to each other.
My story ended at the asylum, but began in 1843. I was a free black man living in Washington County when I signed up to fight with the Union during the Civil War. I was a corporal in the 27th United States Colored Troops, one of two colored units from Ohio.
Both of these regiments became very, very engaged in the Civil War, and both served brilliantly, and both had some major, what I call major engagements.
They participated in a number of minor skirmishes and then also some major actions, including what's known as the Crater. This is near Petersburg, the trench lines in 1864 outside of Richmond.
Decades after the war ended, I was sent to the Athens Asylum.
It's in some ways almost too easy to say it was post-traumatic stress disorder or traumatic brain injury. It is, and we do know that it can take some time for things to build up under PTSD. But it turns out that Israel was in the asylum for all of a month before he died. And he too was not claimed. So here, both Eli and Israel not claimed.
I was buried right next to a person I once called enemy.
It is the case that Eli and Israel are buried right next to each other. And now they both have veteran flag stands at their graves, and Eli's certainly indicates that he was a Confederate soldier, and Israel's indicates that he was a Union soldier.
The two of them buried next to each other, I do not think would be a compatible situation if they were to come out and greet each other.
In the end, here it is, two people with probably very different concepts of culture and society buried next to each other.
Doug, as you were conducting the research on Israel, what stood out to you about Israel's story?
Well, I think the first thing is that so many people, and I'll include myself in this, are so unaware that there were thousands of black men who served in the Union forces during the Civil War. And in recent reading, I've noticed a historian who has claimed that without the influx of black soldiers to the Union Army, the war might either have been lost by the Union or extended even longer than it did. So I've actually done a lot of research on another a black Union veteran, and recently completed short biographical sketches on the entire regiment that this black soldier was in. And those soldiers and I think this is the case too with Israel, were often denigrated by white soldiers, the standard, they won't fight, they don't, you know, they're cowards, they run away, which, I mean, goes all the way back to the American Revolution. And every time from the American Revolution through the War of 1812 and into the Civil War, the vast majority of black soldiers performed extremely well, and a lot of times better than many other white regiments. But, you know, it's racism. I mean, that's all there is to it. So looking at, like, Israel as a representative of black veterans of the Civil War. And then in his case, which, by the way, I haven't found any other real examples of this, for whatever reason, he was judged insane and placed in the asylum. From what I have seen up to this point, very, very few black veterans ended up being judged insane. With Israel's case, it appears that there were some extenuating circumstances. It's hard to say how much of that really came from what we now call post-traumatic stress disorder. I just don't know yet.
And just a final thought, tell us your thoughts on the fact that Eli and Israel were buried right next to each other. That was just the luck of the draw, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to, you know, play the woogie-boogie game, it might be that, you know, Israel died when he did so that he could keep an eye on that SOB, Eli, for eternity.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for being here, Doug.
Oh, it's been a thrill and a pleasure. Thank you.
Joining us now is Paul LaRue. Paul is a retired social studies teacher and serves on the State Board of Education in Ohio. He's also conducted research projects involving veterans and unmarked graves. Paul, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
First, tell us what you know about the dynamic between those who fought for the Confederacy and those who fought for the Union after the war in southeastern Ohio.
Well, it's an interesting dynamic because we know that southern Ohio, southeastern Ohio, a lot of cemeteries have Confederate veterans buried there. And I think people think it's something really odd or unique, but it's really not. Here in Washington Courthouse in our local city cemetery, I believe there's two Confederate veterans in New Holland, which is a little town just west of here, or just east of here. There's also another Confederate veteran. So following the war, a lot of Confederate veterans moved around. Sometimes they went west, sometimes they went north.
So what are your thoughts on the fact that an African-American Union soldier is buried right next to a white Confederate soldier in the Athens Asylum cemeteries?
Well, it's interesting. Also, in terms of the burials, you know, there were about 5,000 black Civil War soldiers who volunteered from Ohio. And our records show that there's at least 3,000, which is probably a low number, of black Civil War veterans buried in Ohio. So the fact that you have a Confederate veteran and a United States Colored Troop member, a black Civil War veteran buried, is interesting. But I guess it's not completely, out of possibility.
Right. It's not something that crazy, even though you might think it would be. I know there are many of these cemeteries with unmarked graves in Ohio, and here in Ohio and all across the country. You know, tell us what you've learned in your research about why they exist, why they decided to just use numbers.
Well, one of the things that we see, and again, this was something that was both fascinating to my students and myself, is that there are a lot of veterans with unmarked graves. I remember the first time I took my students out to our local cemetery and I showed them a section where there were some unmarked veterans' graves. And one of my students said, well, doesn't every veteran get a headstone? Hmm. And, the reality is not necessarily. So especially where there are institutions We see the same thing at the Orient Cemetery, where they use numbers. So it makes it a little bit harder to pay the respects that these veterans are, you know, that are veterans are owed.
Do you know why they use numbers, or have you ever come across anything that indicates why that was done?
I think it was probably just simplicity and record keeping. Because there are, again, we did similar to the work that was done at the asylum. We did at the Orient Cemetery is what was the Feeble-Minded Institute. And we found markers very similar to the ones that you have, except they are just flat to the ground, but they're absolutely just a plain stone with a number on it.
Hmm. Well, you talked about your students and how you helped identify some veterans' graves in your community. Why did you think that was so important to do with them?
Well, again, I always tell the story on one of our field trips. And again, the high school, Washington Courthouse, our high school is about 5 blocks from the cemetery. And we would walk out to the cemetery. And I was given a tour one day. And one of my students said, you know, we were having this conversation. And one of my students said, well, don't these men deserve better? And I thought, what a great question. And it really kind of got us started on a journey. And one of the things we learned is the United States government has provided headstones at no cost to veterans since the 1870s. Hmm. And so by doing correct research, because you have to prove their service, you have to prove you know where they're buried in the cemetery. And by partnering with our local cemetery, we were able to get headstones for a number of veterans, both black and white, who did not have headstones.
Wow. So that question, don't they deserve better, in your opinion and your students' opinion, the answer is yes.
Absolutely. I mean, I always say, you know, it's really the least we can do for the men and the women who have made the sacrifice for our country, you know, really regardless of, you know, race, gender, etc.
I am no longer just Grave 281. My name is Israel Johnson.
And I am no longer Grave 280. My name is Eli Stevens.
And that is the story and impact of the people buried under graves 280 and 281. Their names were Eli Stevens and Israel Johnson. Now we turn to you. We know Eli and Israel's names and stories, but there is so much more work to be done to give voice to those who were voiceless. We want to hear your stories about long-lost relatives in your families who you believe may be buried under a numbered tombstone at cemeteries across the country. We'd love to share your story and see if the work done in Athens might lead you to some answers, and maybe even a name on their grave marker. Email us at wholiesbeneath@woub.org. Thank you for listening, and until next time, take care of each other. Who Lies Beneath the Asylum is a production of WOUB Public Media in Athens, Ohio. Written by me, Sherry Russo. Adam Rich is our audio engineer. Artwork by Sean Anderson. Special thanks to Doug McCabe and Paul LaRue for contributing their knowledge and voices to this podcast, and Roger Jones and Dan Hauser for their work as the voices of Israel Johnson and Eli Stevens. If you like the show, please rate and subscribe or visit woub.org to learn more.